Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn back to the book of Revelations. For 5 weeks, we have been looking at the mistakes of churches and how we can learn from them. And finally, on this week, we make it to the faithful church where we can look at positives and learn from it. As I was standing there worshiping together, I started thinking about that concept. And unfortunately, isn't that our life, that we learn from our mistakes more than we learn from the good times or the good things? I remember the first time I did a Bible study, I had 6 pages typed notes. 13 minutes is what it took me to finish my first Bible study. 13 minutes. And I was running with it, son. Y'all think I talk fast now? Y'all should have heard me then. And then I remember my first sermon. I went to First Baptist Church in Brewton, Alabama, as the summer interim. I was just there to help with a youth group. They didn't have a youth pastor, so it was all on me. And the associate pastor came up to me my first Sunday and said, "Hey, our speaker backed out. It's all on you." That's the first time I preached. I found out in Sunday school that I'd be preaching in like 20 minutes. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'd rather get thrown to the wolves than sit there and think about it for a week. I preached a message on Prayer Jabez because it's a book that I just read at the time. And I'm sure I did awful. I mean, you don't normally do something for the first time and do it great. I don't know how. If you've had children and you've tried to teach them baseball, you don't realize how complicated the swing is until you start trying to break that thing down and teach it to a child. And I find that as we look through life, we learn that mistakes are what give us the greatest lesson. But there are also opportunities, and there's moments in which, it happens to Addison and Evan, and when I'll see a little video or something, and I'll say, "Hey, y'all come here, and we'll watch it together," whether it's volleyball or softball or soccer or basketball, and if somebody doing something really good, I say, "Look at that, look how cool that is." And there's opportunities that we can learn and we can grow through positive means. We spent the last 5 weeks looking at negative means, and now let's look at what Revelation, the message to the Philadelphia, it's considered the faithful church, the church that remained true, the church that didn't really have anything bad to say about them. He just encouraged them and tried to push them forward in what they were doing. So Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7, says this: "And to the angels of the church in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, and who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this: I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come now and bow down at your feet and make them known that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast that you what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, what we see in there, in my opinion, is a lesson of faithfulness. We're seeing this church in Philadelphia as the faithful church. We're seeing that he's saying, look, if you are faithful unto me, here are the rewards that you get for your faithfulness. Now, I think faithfulness goes a long way in a lot of people's eyes, but oftentimes we misunderstand the importance of faithfulness and what that means. In the generation in which my generation, or the generation which is going through, oftentimes we're not faithful to anything. We'll quit a job and we'll go to another job at the blink of a hat if they offer just a little bit more money. or we'll leave this church and we'll go to another church as long as this church doesn't make us happy or that church is doing something we like. We will jump ship and we'll run over there. We'll do whatever we can. We're in the generation of immediate response and immediate choice, and they will choose and go and do and all this kind of stuff. But faithfulness is what we're talking about today, and we're not talking about faithfulness unto me or faithfulness unto this church. We're talking about faithfulness to God. I find that if God puts you somewhere, God will tell you when it's time to leave that place. All right? He tells us that in the scripture. The first point is this: faithfulness guides our ministry potential. All right? He said this: I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. Now, oftentimes in life, we don't look at life with open and closed doors. We look at life as a path. And on path, there are no doors. It's either easy or it's hard. There's no choice. There's no decision. I'm on my walk. I'm on my path. But here, clearly, God says, I have put before you open doors and closed doors. And he said, on the closed doors, no one can open them. On the shut doors, no one, or on the open doors, y'all know what I'm saying. All right? Y'all figure that part out. All right? So what it's saying is that God can do this, but we cannot. Open doors do a lot of things in our life. And I'm going to tell you the biggest problem that I have, and I can't say it's you. I could just say the biggest problem that I have is I spend too much time standing at closed doors instead of walking through open doors. Or I spend too much time pulling on the door handle or turning the door handle trying to get what I want out of my life, ignoring the fact that God said, hey, this is done. This is over. Move on to the next thing. I have something open for you somewhere else. But we spend so much time at a closed door wondering what happened that we don't understand the importance of what God's doing in another area of our life. Or you can apply that to our church also. It's mentioned, open doors are mentioned several times in Scripture, and I just want us to examine those things. The first one I want us to look at is in 1 Corinthians 16. You can turn there, or you can, it'll be on the screen behind me. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9 says this: But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries, excuse me. Now, the first thing that we see there is open doors will change our plans. Now, here's Paul, and Paul has in his mind where he wants to go and what he wants to do, and he's writing here, and he's saying, I want to go see y'all, but an open door has come. And that open door is opening to me something that was not available beforehand. So instead of doing what I want to do, I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to walk through this open door, and I'm going to see where it leads me. There are open doors presented to us, and those open doors oftentimes should change our plans. I tell you the situation that happened a long time ago that still bothers me, in which I was on the way to church. I was running a little late, saw an old guy on the side of the road with a flat tire, and I drove past him instead of helping him because I didn't want to be late for church. There was an open door God gave me, and instead I drove right past it so that I wouldn't be a little late for church. Things like that happen in our lives in which God is trying to open doors for us to see that we can impact people's lives in different ways. We can impact people's lives in things that are not planned or not devoted in our time. Oftentimes, would y'all agree with me that our routine is so rigid that we barely do anything different than we normally do in a week? If I said, what is your plan this week? Most of y'all could tell me kind of what your plan's going to be based off of what you think is going to happen this week. And very rarely does it change. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look, I'm old now. I like having a plan. I like having this. Me and Heather, you know, I think we're on 2 days now instead of 1 day. Heather can tell me 2 days in advance of something happening and let me know what's going on in my week. And I like routine. I like that kind of stuff. But there's moments in time in which God tries to intervene and shut some doors and open some doors to get us to see something. And there we see Paul changes his plans just because God opened a door for him. If you turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he said this: Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord. Second thing that we see here is open doors will allow us to minister. It gives us opportunities. He came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, And when he came to Troas, did it say that the door was closed? Did he say the door was open when he left for Troas? No, he said, I got here and then the door was opened. He said, what he's saying is sometimes in life we have to walk to where God wants us to be before he opens that door. Sometimes we have to walk away from the closed door and start walking towards the open door before God even opens it. That goes whole back to that whole, he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes he is here, sometimes he's out there. But it doesn't change the impact of what he's doing in our lives. Turn over a few more pages and you'll get to Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us, as well as that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I am imprisoned. Praying the same time for us that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we might speak forth the mystery of Christ. In that text, we get two things. Number one, open doors come through prayer. He said, devote yourself to prayer and thanksgiving. Open doors don't just come because you stumble upon them. Open door comes when we as believers in Jesus Christ are generally in prayer and thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians says, be continuously in prayer. Pray always. Keep on praying. There's a bunch of different translations of it. But pray continuously is basically what it's saying. And that's the format of our life in which we're supposed to pray all the time. And through that prayer, God opens doors. And when he opens those doors, he allows us to speak. Now, I want to be honest. I want y'all to be honest with me. Y'all seem a little blah this morning. I don't know what's going on. All right. Nell, where you at? Where are you laughing at? All right, come on. Everybody in this room has been to a moment in time which God opened a door and shut our mouth, and we shut our mouth, in which God gave us an opportunity to share with somebody. God gave us an opportunity to step up. God gave us an opportunity to impact somebody's life in the smallest way possible, and that door opened up to us and our mouth shut. All right, it happens. It's bad, yes, but it's not unusual, in which we get opportunities that we never get before, and instead of taking those opportunities, we shy away from them. And that's where the prayer comes. Yeah, the prayer comes by opening the door, but the prayer also has to come when we say, God, prepare us for those open doors. Prepare us to be ready when the door opens so that I will speak what you asked me to speak. You see, the first thing that we see here is this understanding that God tried to give to this church that, hey, I open doors and I close doors. And those things are on to me. And I need y'all to be prepared when that door opens up. And I need y'all to be prepared when those doors close. Because that's the way I'm going to lead you to where I want you. That's what he's telling this church. He says, I opened doors and you walked through them. I closed doors and you walked away from them. Y'all did what I expected. That's why he started this off that way. The second thing, not just faithfulness guides our potential, but faithfulness guides our power. He said in there, because you have little power. It's amazing how we as believers in Jesus Christ gauge power. Now, we see our church and we compare it to larger churches and we say our church doesn't have as much power as that church down the road. Or we look at a smaller church down the road and we say, well, that church doesn't have as much power as we have. We tend to equate power with people. Now, in this church, I don't think Jesus is being rude here in Revelations. I think he's just making a statement. Hey, y'all had little power. Y'all didn't have much influence in the society that y'all had. Y'all are a small pocket of believers that were surviving in the midst of horrible situation. Y'all had very little power, but with that power, y'all did what I asked. But we find it here in America that we want to reach a certain potential of the church or a certain size of the church. When we went to Puerto Rico those years ago, we talking to the pastor. He says, I don't understand American churches. American churches sit around waiting for 400 or 500 before they plant a church. He said, I get 10 people and I leave somebody in charge of them and I plant another church. 10 people and he's ready to move on. Most of the time, they're leading worship by CDs and boomboxes and things like that. We've made it into something that we don't have to have. I love having Austin lead worship. I love having Missy and the piano and stuff in the second service. Those things are great. I love the gifts. I love having air conditioning in the church. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I got this air conditioning on right now because I'm hot in this jacket. All right, y'all might be cold out there, but it's going on up here. The air is on up here. It's not on out there, but it's on up here. I love having those things, and I'm thankful for the blessings that God gave us. But never let us equate the power of God with our power in the pews. We say things like, our church is so small, we can't do much. Our class is so small, we can't contribute. My friend group is so small, we don't have much impact. If you turn back to 2 Corinthians, important verse there for us to see and understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If I can find it. Starting in verse 9, it says this. And he who has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Biblical power, somehow, some way, is found in weakness. And I've come to the conclusion that biblical power comes from weakness because all power comes from biblical power. The satanic forces have some power, but they don't have total power. I mean, think about it. God said, let there be light, and light burst forth into this universe. All the power we have rests within God. The next step that we have, the next breath that we take, the next year that we live would be by the power of God. It don't take me. It doesn't take my intelligence or lack of. It doesn't take my strength or lack of. It doesn't take my charisma or lack of. It's by God's power that anything happens. And so it's only in my weakness do I lean on Him. When do we lean the most on Christ? When we're the weakest. Men that are in this room, oftentimes God is a last resort for us. We will do anything and everything by our power to survive whatever onslaught we have before we lean on Christ and allow Christ's power to be sufficient inside of us. I think it's interesting in this. If we needed power to open the door and to close it, not a lot of things would get done. Have you ever been on one side of the door holding it and somebody's on the other side trying to open it? Y'all done that before? I guess not. Yeah, it's okay. Have you ever stuck your foot at the bottom of the door when somebody's trying to push it open and then they just stuck in there and not much they can do? It takes a lot of power to open a door that don't want to be open. All right? It takes a lot of power to close a door that don't want to be closed. But here's the thing. God's not asking us to do that. All God's asking us to do is walk through it and walk away from it. Don't take a whole lot of power to walk away from a door, does it? It don't take a whole lot of power to walk through a door. But what does it take? Faithfulness. And that's how faithfulness leads to power, because God's not trying to get us to do what He can't do. He's trying to get us to do what we won't do. Faithfulness guides our potential. Faithfulness guides our power. Number three, faithfulness guides our principles. He said, you have kept my word. Faithfulness to God's word must return to the church, must return to the people of God. We are in a day and a time in which 2 Kings is happening again. 2 Kings chapter 22, the book of the law had been lost. They're doing some remodeling in the temple, tore down a wall, and they found inside that wall a scroll, the law. King Josiah found that scroll. He read it. He was utterly horrified at how sinful and how far away the kingdom of Israel was. And it said he ripped his clothes, and he went into a time of mourning. And then he went from that point forward, tearing down altars and reestablishing the worship of Yahweh in the nation of Israel again. The nation of Israel all but forgot about the word and the law of God. And here we are in our world today, and we've all but forgot about the word of God. The only difference is we have not lost God's word. We've only lost our desire for God's word. The Bible has never been more readily accessible to us. We have it in our cars. We have it on our bookshelves. We have it on our nightstands. We walk around with it in our pocket. We have every aspect in every way in which we can read God's word is there for us to do. And yet the Church of Jesus Christ in general is ignorant of it, is walking away from it. We must return, we must keep, we must hold fast the word of God. And fourthly, faithfulness guides our priorities. Not only did faithfulness guide our principles, but it's guiding our priorities. They were faithful not only in word, but also in action. They weren't just talking the talk. This church was walking the walk. What they said, they did. How they felt, they acted. I truly believe when a man or a woman becomes a student of the word, it affects the life that he lives. You can't be in God's word readily. You can't be in God's word all the time and be the same as you were before. God's word changes us. The Bible tells us it's living and active. It's sharper than any sword that we can find, and it cut deep into our bodies, and it makes us see us for who we are, and it allows us to see God for who he is and bring those two together. You know, I had this moment of clarity once. A moment of clarity that reminded me in that first song, Austin, every time we sing it, the goodness of God. I don't deserve my relationship with Jesus. I don't. I don't deserve an eternity in heaven. I don't deserve his death on the cross because I mess up so often. So many ways, and so often the same way so many times, that I don't deserve Jesus. But that's what makes him so good. That's why we can sing about the goodness of God, not because we're good, but because we're so bad. We're so wretched. We're so messed up, and God loves me anyway. Faithfulness should guide our priorities, because when we're in the Word, it should change who we are. And every time we mess up and every time we fall short of those, we should repent and get back in it. We must resolve today that we will start living out our faith in front of one person. Just one. I think sometimes that's what the overwhelming part. There's so many people in our life. We're like, what do I do? How do I say? How do I act? What if you just said, hey, I'm going to interact with this one person in such a way that they see the gospel, or they see the love of Christ, or they hear his word proclaimed in my mouth. Just one person a day. So the church at Philadelphia, faithfulness guides their potential. Faithfulness guided their power. Faithfulness guided their principles, and faithfulness guided their priorities. So what does that say to us here and today? In this moment, we're fixing to head into the invitation, and I think it opens the door for us to examine our lives, opens the door for us to truly do something today that has meaning and purpose. And that meaning and purpose is just an opportunity for us to reflect upon what God is trying to say and do. First thing I believe God is saying to us, there are doors that have been shut in the life of this church. Pray that we see them and we walk away. There are doors that have been open in this church. Pray that we walk through them. But there's also been doors shut in your life. There's a lot of people in this room today that are staring at a closed door, and they're ignoring an open door. And I think there's a call today that we as the people of God stop staring at that closed door and start looking for the open one. The calling God has placed on your life is not dependent upon your power. What God wants you to do is not based off your skills or your talent. It's based off your faithfulness. There's some people in this church today that God has been calling to do something, and you've been telling him no. Today is the day that you say, I'm going to be more faithful than I am strong. Because his power is made perfect in our weakness. The calling God has placed on this church is not dictated by the number of people on roll, in the pews, or even willing to serve. God has a purpose and a plan for this church. And he's going to open doors and he's going to close doors, and we as a church are going to progress forward. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This church has been in existence for almost 175 years. It's a lot of open doors. There's a whole lot of closed doors to get us to where we're at. Churches are closing their door every week because they're unwilling to walk away from closed doors and through open doors and experience the power of God at work in them. And lastly, pray for a new love and a desire for God's holy word. Let us as a church be a church dedicated unto his word. Let us as individuals be dedicated to his word. If you're in this room today and it's been a long time since you opened up God's word and you've read it, if you experienced it, not through Bible study, not through sermons, but on your own, individually, today's the day. As I encourage you to come to the altar and say, God, please give me a desire and a love of your word that causes me to want to be in it every day. Causes me to want to be passionate about it. And I want to add this last thing. If we're praying for all those things and God's moving in all those areas, pray that as individuals, we start living out our faith. I'm often reminded of what my evangelism professor said. Someone not invited to church oftentimes will never go. He would say 100% of the people you don't invite aren't coming to church. He said, so what if it's just 10% of the people you invite do come to church? Pray that we live out our faith. Pray that we share the message that God has. Pray that we experience the power that does not rest within us, but falls upon us from high. Now stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.